Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio with Augusto Perez. On today's mailbag show, we'll be discussing prophetic current events, answering your questions, sharing praise reports, and praying over your prayer requests. We'll also be taking communion after the music break. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the Mailbag Show. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Tuesday, and it's March 12th, 2024, the year of our Lord. We're going to bring you the latest in headline news, commentaries, analysis, as we see it through the eyes of Bible prophecy and the Word of God. Well, we got some things to share with you today, and we got a good mailbag. We got a lot of mail, so it's going to be a good program. And I want to start by sharing something that I experienced on Sunday night, and in the middle of the night, I was just resting, and all of a sudden, in my dream, right, in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul, in all my body, I start hearing a song that I have not heard since I was a young guy, and I started hearing over and over and over and over again. And then I woke up and I kept hearing that song again and again and again. And and that song is a song, it was a single from a Swedish group called ABBA. In the second album, it was back in the, let me see what it says here, 1974. I think it says 1974. It won this song won the Eurovision Song Contest for Sweden. And this is what really started, got this band started to fame. It made it famous, in other words. And that song is Waterloo. And I didn't remember what year or anything about it. I had to look it up because it was so insistent. It was so persistent in my mind and in my, I kept hearing and hearing and hearing it. So whenever I have an experience like that, I pay attention, because this is not just a pizza kind of thing. You know what I mean? No, I had not been listening to that song. I had not heard that song since that time, since the 70s, when I was a young guy. And so I just been praying about it and thinking about it. And then today, as I was checking the news, I looked at a couple of things here, and I want to get your opinion on this, guys. I don't know. It could be, maybe not, but I'm going to share it just because it happens to be something that may be connected to the experience I had. And this is a report that came out on Newsweek. It came out today. It says NATO member hints at boots on the ground on Ukraine. And it talks about that there are NATO troops in Ukraine. And also, I was listening to this news that somebody sent me just today, that it says NATO soldiers are actively deployed in Ukraine, and there is a major escalation, and this is breaking news. Again, I have not been able to vet any of this except for the two articles I gave you from Newsweek, and also another from BBC. There's also a confirmation from BBC about Ukraine war and a leak that shows Western special forces on the ground. And this was, this was from last year. So I'm not going to pay attention to that one. I'm going to kind of focus on the one from Newsweek this week. and from the one that I received on YouTube. And it basically, what that is saying is basically that the Polish foreign minister just said that there are currently active NATO troops deployed on the ground in Ukraine. But we don't know, he doesn't know the exact mission of it, and he would not say exactly which country they're from. But then this podcast basically goes on to say that we have heard also some news regarding Macron from France, and he has been talking heavily about that for the last month. So he's basically connecting the dots that he thinks that probably this is one of the main countries there now with boots on the ground in Ukraine. And so when I saw that, something started ringing inside my head, and I went and checked it out, and I checked Waterloo when that happened. And I mean, how did that happen? Who was involved in that? And of course, it's Napoleon Bonaparte. And Napoleon was from France. He was a French general, a French commander. And that was the battle where basically he lost. He was destroyed. France was destroyed. And so this happened back in 1815. It's called the Battle of Waterloo. And so there you have it. I mean, could this be kind of just a coincidence? I just happened to be to have that song in my spirit, in my head, so strongly, so persistently. And then all of a sudden, I get these news items. I don't know. I don't believe in those kinds of coincidences. In the past, when these kinds of things happen to me, it's usually pointing to something very specific, spiritually happening, and also in the natural happening. So I just wanted to share that for what it's worth. I'd like to get you guys' opinion. I don't know. This may be nothing, or this may be something. But if this is what it's pointing to be, it looks to me like France is going to end up in a heap of trouble here.
Well, it's very, very interesting what that experience was. And then, I don't know, that song probably 30 plus years old. I mean, that's quite some time ago. And it's odd that you'd wake up feeling that and hearing that song. And then Waterloo, and as you mentioned, Napoleon. And it is true. I've been watching and following for the last few weeks. And, of course, this has been a rumor for some time about, NATO troops actually fighting Russia inside Ukraine. But the intelligence that I've been getting off and on, and especially recently, is that these troops are French troops and British troops, and then some U.S. operators. And this puts us in a scenario of real trouble because, this is just my personal opinion, but we could have our own Waterloo, and our Waterloo would be connected with NATO. There's a very big possibility that Russia would decide they've had enough, and they could basically defeat us. You know, that's what happened. Isn't it odd? Isn't it odd that Napoleon was defeated? His forces were defeated by whom? Russia, Russian forces. And so it's very possible that history would repeat itself, and, we would find ourselves having our Waterloo, if you will, at the hands of Russia. I don't know. There's something to this. And you know, as we're watching, I'm getting more and more information that regardless of how any election would even turn out, if we have the election, they're absolutely arrayed against Trump ever returning to Washington. There's now reports that the RINOs and Democrats have already made a pact that even if it looks like he might have won the election, if they have it, that they are simply not going, they're going to stand together and simply not going to certify that election or verify it. And so I suppose without the, you know, that verification, possibly he could not take office. And so I don't know. Things don't look good. And I've often wondered, you know, you know, especially with that word Waterloo coming up, you know, we simply, and most people know this that really pray, the rest of them, I guess, don't even have a clue. You know, everybody thinks America is just always a winner, but we don't have God on our side. Now, the remnant, we have God and his protection and divine guidance, et cetera, on our side, and we have to walk very close to him to hear it and understand it and do it. However, America as a nation does not have God on its side, and you've already lost the war. You know, remember how old Israel? You know, if he didn't bless the war, Israel lost the war. They lost every battle that he wasn't behind, and they wasn't following his guidance. And remember what a lot of Washington, D.C. says now. God has nothing to do with this. We make our own destiny.
Yeah, this is all very interesting. Waterloo by ABBA, believe it or not, is 50 years old. And there might be some significance in the number 50 as well, but I don't think it's any coincidence, Augusto, that you heard that song in your spirit, because you've got the French involved, and Napoleon was defeated by the Russians, and we might be seeing a replay of what happened at Waterloo. Who knows? But I think that is definitely from the Lord. If you're not even thinking about ABBA or their music, and suddenly that song comes into your spirit, so very interesting to see what will happen.
Yeah, I just sent it to you. Check the song, so you could play just the first. A few seconds. It's very telling, and the first part of the song. The other part no, but the first part of the song is very, very telling. What it says, and it talks about, you know, at Waterloo, Napoleon did surrender. And then it says, oh, yeah, and I have met my destiny in quite a similar way. And then it says, see what it says. I'm looking at the lyrics right now. And then I have met my destiny in quite a similar way, and said the history book on the shelf is always repeating itself. That's incredible. That's what it says. That's what the song says. And so, and then it goes on, you know, then the song goes on, and it takes, you know, and it says, Waterloo, I was defeated. You won the war. And that first part there, which is basically the first 35 seconds, if you could play that when you get it, Chuck, so that people get an idea what we're talking about here. But anyways, and that's the part that's really, that's the part I kept hearing over and over and over again, the first part. And I don't know, this is incredible. Many times the Lord talks to me like that in songs. And, you know, when I wake up with a song like that in my head, in my soul, that I have not heard, I haven't listened to it for a long, long time. I pay attention to it, and this could turn out to be something. If this, all these reports that we are hearing now, that NATO has boots on the ground, this could be really something. I don't know. I'm gonna post these articles and this this YouTube podcast that I received. Very interesting that what they're saying there. And he talks about all of these things that we mentioned. And this is coming from the Polish foreign minister that made this unexpected statement about NATO soldiers in Ukraine. And so we don't know, and this just came out today, folks, and we don't know if this is going to trigger Russia to do something else. I mean, we've been talking about the solar eclipse of April, but it seems like there's a shaking already beginning. I can hear the shaking happening already before April 8th. And April 8th, that solar eclipse, it crosses the United States along with the one that happened a few years ago. I think it was in 2017. And the two solar eclipses crisscrosses America. And then, I've talked about it on our Thursday programs. And it makes two Hebrew letters in the process, the Aleph and the Tav, which are basically the beginning and the end of the Hebrew alphabet. And there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on here spiritually and physically. There's a lot going on financially. There's a lot going on with the weather. I was looking outside the other day, just a couple of days ago, as the sun was going down, and the chemtrails, they were just covering the sky completely with chemtrails. And it was covered, but I looked at where the sun was setting, and to the left of it, there was another bright spot there, very, very weird, very bright. And I don't know if there was another sun there, the smaller, the dwarf sun there or not, but it was certainly very, very bright. The only bright spot outside of the sun, and it was to the left of it. I don't know. I know that they're chemtrailing a lot here now for no reason. And all of a sudden, this happens. So there's a lot of things going on, folks. There's a lot of variables in the equation, if you will, and we're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, that's interesting. Matter of fact, it kind of keyed my memory, and if I'm not wrong, and I could be wrong, but when I watched that show, The Martian, that was basically where a mission had gone, a NASA mission had gone to Mars, and they accidentally left one of the astronauts behind. It was an accident. They thought they had had a weather problem and all kind of stuff, and they thought he was dead, but he wasn't dead, and they left him behind. And so when they were the crew of the craft that was coming back to Earth on its way back, when they got close to Earth, NASA had already made contact with the astronaut left behind on Mars. And if I'm not wrong, and I could be wrong, but that song kind of keyed a memory. It seemed like there was kind of a deception or a betrayal that happened at NASA. And even after being ordered to land, that craft zoomed around the Earth and actually picked up they had to ask China to give them resources to go back to Mars, and they met the Chinese craft that had gone up to help them. And if I'm not wrong, when they headed back against orders of NASA to get him, which would take months, that song was being played. That was the music being played as they were going back. And that was basically a huge failure on NASA's part in leaving behind somebody and then having their commander and the crew rebel against their orders to land on Earth. And they went back to get him. And of course, in the movie, they got him. It was Matt Damon. That was the astronaut that left on Mars. They called him the Martian, but that's interesting. I was going to say also, Bobby Akert his new book series called Behind the Gates. That just came out early, actually. And here's one of the paragraphs that it talks about what's happening. And Bobby Akkard, he reminds me a lot of Tom Clancy. He embeds in his novels a lot of real stuff, but the stuff doesn't seem, you don't really don't catch on to it till, you know, a little later than when he puts it out. But the interesting part about the book one, Behind the Gates, it's what's so interesting is the cover shows, I don't know if it's New York or where it is, but it shows a big sidewalk and buildings and et cetera. And the sidewalks are just literally covered, might be California or New York, but the sidewalks are covered with immigrant, it looks like, and the homeless. I mean, they're everywhere, all over the streets. And what's interesting is the comment that he made at the beginning of his book. Listen to this. America was on the brink of collapse. The fabric of society was torn apart. The economy was in shambles. Ordinary Americans experienced death by a thousand cuts, and it's coming soon to your neighborhood.
Yeah, it's we're definitely living in very, very strange times. There's of course, this is an election year. The other thing that I was thinking was that this year the National Convention is in Chicago. And the last time that the Democratic Convention was held in Chicago, it was not a good year. Remember 1968? And that is when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, and the same with Martin Luther King. Those two political figures were assassinated on the same year. And there was a lot of unrest. There was a lot of turmoil, and it was a time of great turmoil in this country back then. And it happens to be that this year, the Democratic Convention is being held in Chicago again. So am I predicting something similar happening? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, reminding the people that it happened back then. And they were celebrated in Chicago, the convention, the Democrat convention. This year is happening again. So I got this thing that we may experience something similar. Hopefully not. We can pray that it does not happen. But like the song Waterloo says, history repeats itself. The history books on the shelf tell us that history repeats itself.
Well, that kind of goes along with the book of Ecclesiastes. Nothing new. Absolutely nothing new. It just happens over and over and over again, even from civilization to civilization, if not year by year, or certain time frames in the present civilization. But, you know, and like Bobby Akkard's book, America's in a dire strait right now. We're so broken. And we've got our government basically is fixated. I'd like to use that term and underline it and emphasize it. Our government in America is fixated on destroying the right, if you want to call them the right. I call them the conservatives, the Christians, the patriots, blah, blah, blah. But do you know that they're still tracking down people that are Trump supporters and jailing them? Matter of fact, Peter Navarro this week, I guess in you know, next few days, goes to federal prison and basically didn't do anything. He basically refused to sit before a, I guess you could say, a January 6th deception committee. It wasn't a real trial of any sort. It was a frame job. And he says, I won't testify in it. So he's going to prison. Steve Bannon said, you know, if his appeal doesn't work out, to go to prison. Arizona's actually got a grand jury established now to indict Trump on charges because he interfered, they say, with the 2020 Arizona election. So they're going to indict Trump again maybe they'll get 10 million years, you know, and put Trump away for millions and millions and millions of years. But maybe that's a stretch. But you see where this is going. And basically what I'm saying is if it, you know, it's entirely possible. History repeats itself. We've seen that over and over and over. Could it be that someone is assassinated in the next few months in America? And your police forces who have been diminished under the Democrats for the last number of years across America could not hold the line such as they did with Martin Luther King and Kennedy. They couldn't hold that line. This country will burn. They won't be able to stop. Plus, number one, they won't have the will to stop them. So who knows? You know, and even if somebody's assassinated, whether from the right or the left, you really don't know who did it because of the corruption of our government. You'd never know. You still don't know, really. You kind of got an idea, and you've been kind of told and hinted at who killed, you know, JFK. But, well, this is our government, is it not?
Yeah, the JFK deal was a real snow job trying to convince us that one person fired those shots from the book depository in Dallas, which was a complete fabrication. And even some of the conclusions that investigators did on the assassination, I believe the man was an Englishman who did a multi-part documentary called The Men Who Killed Kennedy, saying that there was a group of men that did it. And there are things in there and things that I have heard and read that indicate that even what he concluded didn't really happen the way that he thought it did. Lots of smoke screens and mirrors whenever there is a political killing like this, because the government does not want the truth to come out. And a lot of people have died behind the Kennedy assassination who died mysteriously. So concerning Trump, who knows? You know, we've heard that there is supposedly an assassin in the country or multiple assassins. We don't know who they are, where they are. The government knows who they are and where they are, but we don't. And it's just one cover-up after another, and it's very difficult to, you know, if you go down the rabbit hole, it goes in all kinds of different directions, and you don't know which one is the right one. It's, you know, the deception is just incredible.
Yeah, it's too many things coming at you from different angles that it is almost impossible to discern the things when they're coming. Which brings us back to Trump, and again, there's an article here about that, something that happened from Newsweek, and then from Alex Jones, because of something that Trump said in reaction to something that O'Biden has said, and again, I mean. I pray for Trump. I mean, and I believe he's going to be elected again. I mean, God showed me that. I saw him sitting behind the presidential desk, and I don't know how that's going to happen. I just saw him sitting behind the presidential desk, which means he's going to be there. I don't know if it's in the White House. I don't know where it is. I don't know. But now this happens, and again, Trump basically it shoots himself in the foot again and talks about the vaccine, and Alex Jones went through the roof, and basically because of a tweet that Donald Trump posted that says you know, in answer, I guess he was answering a Joe O'Biden statement when he made the State of the Union address. He says the pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. And then Trump says, "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you." So Trump basically, again, you know, he is defending the vaccine, And this is something that he has been told, he has been warned, and he has been advised, touch that puppy. That is not something you want to touch. That is not your that's not going to win you any votes, because everybody knows now what the vaccine is. And this is basically what Alex Jones said. He says, this is a lot of BS. This so-called vaccine is a biological weapon. And good news is people are awake, and not even 45 can sell it. And so I don't understand why Donald Trump continues to try to sell the vaccine, or at least say that, you know, he takes credit for that, when he knows that is not a popular thing. That is going to get him less votes. And I just don't understand. And we have been through this many times. I don't believe that the man intentionally did this on purpose, that he wanted to see people die. I don't believe that. And the reason I say that is because right before he was elected president, and right in the beginning when he was elected president, he was totally against vaccines. Totally. Totally against it. I read articles and the statements that he made against the vaccines that he attributes to his son Barron, having autism. He attributed it to the vaccines, and so all of a sudden, then this change. And again, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to beat a dead horse. All I'm saying is, for whatever reason, whatever caused him to turn, and it could have been a dozen things. Okay, I don't want to. I mean, people that are quick to pull the trigger and criticize, you don't know the circumstances surrounding that. And I can share some things, and maybe I will. Somebody sent me some dreams and visions before Trump became, or right at the time that Trump became president, and that suggests something else, okay? So all I'm saying is, Trump keeps shooting himself in the foot. Why is he doing that? I don't get it.
Well, that's certainly interesting, because I know that Trump and his inside group follow a lot of people on media, alternative media that I follow. And, like Bannon on the War Room, Bannon every day almost has people that talks about the death shot. It's overwhelming in my mind that after all this time and all the truth that has come out on how this jab, as we call it, has affected people's lives or dropped them dead in their tracks, it's almost like everybody keeps overlooking all the facts. The facts are in the background, and overwhelming baloney is in the foreground, if you will. And Trump keeps eating overwhelming baloney. Now, with that being said, there's a guy in the country, and Alternative News has been posting a lot of his information. His name is Ralph Reed, and he's a pastor, and he is trying his best to get the churches, whatever definition you want to put on that. You know, there's all kind of churches in America, but the so-called Christian groups across America to vote for Trump this election to overwhelm the what they expect to be a great cheat, and not only that, a overwhelming ballot production, possibly by China like the last time, and then also the immigrants, or that what I call illegal aliens, that some states are just going to completely allow them to vote as though they were a citizen. And so with that being said, Ralph Reed is trying to actually get people registered to vote throughout all the churches in America. And he's running, according to him, he's running up against an obstacle in America, especially. He said, number one, a lot of the church people just don't even think that they need to vote. They're more spiritual than that. And then there's another group that don't care to vote because they just really don't care. Now, he's talking about church people now, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to interpret church people. But he said the other group, a lot of the church people don't want Trump. They don't like him. They don't want to vote for Trump. And so I'm sitting here and I'm looking at, okay, you want 4 more years of cadaver? I mean, hey, I just don't understand it. I mean, it's like they think they have an alternative. It's obviously an alternative in their mind. But with that being said, and I just told you what Ralph Reed's run up against on trying to get the so-called churches across America to gather and register and actually vote in this 2024 election. Now, with that being said, and you mentioned something about some other visions and things, let me say this. You know, I've done a lot of prayer walks. My prayer walks have been a little lonesome lately because my dog was killed, but still yet, I walk and talk with the Lord, and I began to just a little bit look at the possibility, okay, because it's very clear in Scripture God is not a man, and it seems like everybody on the planet wants to act like God would operate like they do, that he would think about things like they do. Well, it's just the opposite. He don't think about it like you think about it. He don't think that low on any level. But with that being said, I'm beginning to wonder if it's possible that Trump did give us Cyrus. I'll call him Cyrus because I saw there was a Cyrus anointing on Donald Trump in the 2016 election. I mean, he won that and kind of miraculously in a way, and he did have his big old. He's got a big foot. He's got a big mouth. Okay, I'll admit it. But he's got a big foot also, and that darn mouth and that foot was in the door blocking the agenda, and we would have suffered. God's people would have literally suffered under the takeover under the Hillary Clinton regime. So we got 4 years. Now, the 4 years we got, from my opinion, this is me thanks, from my opinion, the 4 years we got was grace and mercy that we didn't even deserve as a nation, because Barack Obama said one thing that I'm aware of that was really true, because he's an absolutely habitual liar and deceiver. But he said one thing that was true: America, you're no longer a Christian nation. Well, that's a fact. Walk outside and look around and see how Jesus is, okay? He's been thrown out of every medical facility, basically, every corporation in the country, a lot of the homes in the country, the churches in the country don't receive him, don't want him, don't like the Holy Spirit or anybody talking about it. He's been thrown out of the Capitol. He's been thrown out of government offices. He's been thrown out, really, out of the nation. And did the Christians complain? No. No, 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 they did not complain. They never basically said a word. They meekly and quietly allowed it to occur. So with that being said, I'm wondering if the first 4 years of Trump was grace and mercy without us even realizing it much, because we certainly didn't repent as a nation. Matter of fact, you didn't ever hear repentance anywhere much, did you? There was, of course, the remnant and the people of God that love God and do what he says, we have a personal repentance that we do that. I do that often, actually, but mostly not. So my question is, you guys can answer this or y'all can just not answer it, don't matter, because it's just a me thanks. But in my prayer walks, I'm beginning to wonder if Trump somehow does take some type of power. And we don't know that how that may occur. It may not even be the election. It may be another way that somehow he obtains power. If he does, though, I am wondering if he doesn't come back as judgment to this nation, as judgment maybe to the world, as judgment especially to the Washington, D.C. crowd and the deep state, not only deep state America, but deep state worldwide, a true judgment. I don't know, guys. Just me thanks.
Yeah, it's all very interesting. Trump might get back in if suddenly the Supreme Court says that Trump won the 2020 election, that it was a total fraud by the Democrats, and there is proof out there, absolute proof, that they did steal it, and they might declare that Trump was the victor in the 2020 election. And then those that are supporting Trump would work to get him back into the White House and get rid of the cadaver, as you call him. And but if that does happen, you know, if he does get back into power, it's going to be a very difficult situation for Trump, because he's going to have to remain on the move to thwart any attempts to try to assassinate him, because there's going to be a lot of people that want to get rid of him, you know, the Democrats, the deep state, and so forth. And it's going to be a tough go if he does get back in. He won't be able to just sit in the White House, you know, running the nation. That would be very dangerous. He's going to have to be on the move.
Yeah. There's a lot more here than people realize. And I think you may have something there, Larry. I have received that in my spirit as well. And the way I've received it is like Samson. He's maybe like Samson holding on to the pillars of the temple. And he decided to bring it, the whole temple down on himself, but also on the people there, all the Philistines, which were the enemies. And so there is a lot here. There's a lot here. Again, I don't want to share too much about this, because this is not, this is something that is not mine. The vision is not mine. And the person, you know, shared, you know, in private. So I'm not going to share much. I'm just going to share a couple of things, okay? But it has to do with him. It has to do with Trump. And so this is why I always say that people have to be very, how can I put it? They have to be very discerning, and they have to pray a lot before they go out and say things that they don't understand, or things that they're looking at, things that they're seeing, but they don't know things that are going on behind the scenes. And I know that from a fact that, you know, I was a pastor many times. People would say things, unkind things about me, and they had no clue what I was dealing with. They had no clue, no idea. But yet, they being people, you know, they just saw what they saw, and they went, they ran with that and judged me based on what they saw. They had no idea what I was dealing with, personal things I was dealing with, and I had to deal with them. And so you take that and you multiply it by what, 1,000 times, which is what someone in the capacity of a president of this nation with all the cabal against them has to deal with. And again, just to share a couple of things, okay? But this individual, and this happened many years ago, okay, when Trump was first in the White House, and this individual saw a vision, and that it had to do with him, and he had to do with a threat. He came under a threat to harm Melania and Barron, and that he had to basically, you know, concede to them. I don't know if in everything or in certain things. And they saw this. This individual saw this, and this this individual also saw a coffin, and with a pentagram and the whole nine yards, which we know these people are devils. And so, anyway, I'm just saying this, that because sometimes people may even accuse this man of, you know, things and having flipped and blah, 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 and this and that. And all I'm saying is we have to judge like, you know, Jesus said, if you're going to judge, judge righteously. Do not judge, so you be not judged. But if we're going to judge, we have to judge righteously. And so I'm just sharing that because I do believe that knowing what we know, how these people hate him, and knowing the power that these individuals have, knowing the meetings that the Trump had in private with men like Kissinger and even Bill Gates. I remember one particular meeting he had with Bill Gates, and nobody knows what they talked about, but the one thing that did that was leaked out was a statement from Bill Gates to Trump, where he basically, they were talking about vaccines, and Bill Gates told him, point blank, quote, "That is a dead end," unquote. That's the only thing that was reported or leaked. And so after that, he changed his tune on the vaccines. And so what was it really that was talked about there? Again, we don't know. And so I agree with what you said, Larry. I mean, he put the foot in the door, and we would have been in a heap of trouble had he not been in the White House those 4 years. We would have been already in the mark of the beast, and I mean, we would have been way into the program. So, but my recommendation to Mr. Trump, okay, is just zip it. Do not talk about this subject, and that would go a long ways. Don't talk against it. Don't talk for it. Just zip it. And there may be ulterior reasons for this man to have to do this. I don't know. I'm not going to say any more because I have said already too much. But we need to pray for the man. And he could be one of those targeted. We were talking about history repeats itself. And we were talking earlier about the Chicago Democratic Convention, what happened in 68. So we need to pray for this man, and we need to pray for, you know, for this country. We need to pray for a lot of people, and we need to do it now before it's too late, because this could be a crucial year. This is a crucial year where it could be the end of America as we know it. It could be the end of the world as we know it, or it could be another opportunity for another reprieve.
Well, one thing that's very true, and even the mainstream media lately is continuously hammering the fact that Melania and Barron are not seen anywhere with Trump anymore, hardly at all. Of course, Melania, they shame her all the time for not being out there, but she recently lost her mother, and she'd been sitting with her mother before her mother's death, but they could care less. Mainstream media are evil demonic entities anyway. I mean, that's just what they are. It's not hard to describe them. They present themselves as such, and that is what they are. But with that being said, I would just say also that I am sure that Donald Trump is receiving probably numerous messages from people like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, et cetera, and probably that's a bone of contention. The Lord showed me one time. He told me that George Soros was going to fall. And George Soros literally has been involved in this, just like the other names I mentioned, to a great degree to destroy this nation. And when he told me that, and we've considered that for some time, but it looks now to me like George Soros's destruction has lasted much longer, and the fall has actually stretched into the future to the point I don't know anymore when that was. Of course, I never did know when, but I just mentioned the fact that I was shown he was going to fall and told that, and that has not happened. And sometimes when these things occur, you don't know the moment or the time. And so with that being said, you know, and Chuck mentioned that things wouldn't probably going to go well for Trump. And, you know, I'm not really sure that he really cares. I mean, at this point, you know, I know a lot of people are thinking he's just going to turn this thing around on a dime and we're going to go back into some type of American glory. But I'm not sure of that. I'm beginning to think he's going to have the roughest years of his, if he gets elected again or back in office again, it will be the most destructive and horrific time America has ever seen. And I'm not even going to mention the rest of the world, but, you know, I don't know. It's just a feeling I've had, and I've done a lot of prayer walks, and this feeling's come over me a few times that that what we think the Creator is doing with Donald Trump may not at all be what the Creator is doing with Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah. The Lord can do anything, and we are on a tailspin right now. America's on its way down. You look at the homeless situation and everything that they're doing to try to stop Trump, we are in really bad shape right now, in real trouble. And I just hope more and more people that are Christians start to see what trouble we're in and start praying more, because prayers are powerful if people will pray.
Yes, we need to pray. We need to pray like never before. So we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to have communion together. So get your elements ready, and when we return, we'll do that. This is the Mailbag Show with Larry Taylor, Chuck Wilson, and yours truly, Augusto Perez. We'll be right back.
Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Welcome back. We're going to do a portion of reading from the Bible, first book of Corinthians, chapter 11. And then we're going to take a moment, like we do every week, to examine ourselves. And then when we return, we'll have communion together. So trust you have your elements with you. Starting in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So let's take a moment to examine ourselves and repent of any sins we have committed. Forgive those that may have sinned against you. And then when we return, we'll have communion together. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you today as we have communion together with your precious lambs all over the world, break bread. We bless this piece of bread and this fruit of the vine, representing your broken body and your shed blood at Calvary. We stand on this covenant of faith. We stand on it, Father, steadfastly. We believe in this covenant. We believe in you. We trust you. We trust, Lord, in the promises of your covenant. And so we declare, we decree, when we take this communion, Father, people will be healed. People will be set free. People will be filled with the Holy Spirit. People will be saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' holy name, Yeshua's holy name. And we thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's receive the body of Jesus Christ. After the same manner, he took the cup which he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. These do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's receive the fruit of the vines, which is symbolic of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank you. And right there where you're at, just receive from God. Receive from the Lord. Receive your healing. We receive our healing, Lord. We receive the touch from heaven. Amen. Even though you feel pain, even though you don't feel good, just confess it. Just receive it. I receive healing in my body. I receive healing in my mind. I receive healing in my soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you that by your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We give you glory and we give you praise. You're able, Lord. You're able. You are able. You're able. You're able to do exceeding and abundantly above anything that we ask of thee. You said in your word that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of you. Thank you, you Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We walk not by sight, we walk by faith. And we trust in your word in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. All right. Well, let's go to our mailbag and let's open a mailbag. And we see we have one here from Angelica.
Hello, Augusto. Hope you are well. I love all your shows and teachings. I was blessed by attending the conference last July and being baptized by you. Looking forward to the possibility of attending another conference this year. Love hearing Larry and Chuck too. My question to you is about the flat earth debate. With everything going on in the world, I realize that this may not be as significant as other things. However, I would welcome hearing what you have to say regarding this topic. If you have covered it in any of your online teachings, can you please refer me to them so I can listen? Thank you so much. God bless you always. Angelica, from New Jersey.
Yes, Angelica, thank you for writing. Yeah, that was a wonderful conference one. Yes, praise you, Jesus. Yeah, we have talked about this before in one of our mailbag shows back, so I don't remember which one it was or I would tell you. But basically, this whole thing of the flat earth has been debunked to my satisfaction anyway, to my satisfaction. And it's just, you know, it don't hold any water. I mean, that, like they say here in the South, that dog won't hunt. I mean, every planet in the universe, everything in the universe is an orb, and yet Earth is flat. Come on. Come on. Mercury is an orb. Venus is an orb. Saturn, the Jupiter, I mean, the moon. Everything is an orb, but the Earth is flat, right? It takes more faith to believe that than to believe that, you know, to believe anything else. Anyway, I am a very practical person, and I have done some research into this as well. And I did a little check, for example, and I mentioned this in that podcast. The distance from Tierra del Fuego to Sydney, Australia, is 5,880 miles. I looked at this in the Google Earth, you know, map, and you can do it, you know, in different ways. And then the distance from the Tierra del Fuego to Cape Town, South Africa, is 4,231 miles, right? And then, of course, Tierra del Fuego is the furthest most point in South America. So I measured that to Sydney, Australia, and then from Sydney, or from Tierra del Fuego to Cape Town, South Africa, is 4,231 miles. The distance from Cape Town to Sydney is 6,843 miles, okay? And so you measure that and you add it up, and if you were to take a flight, if you were to take a flight from, and I checked those two, in an airline, from Tierra del Fuego to Sydney, okay, is 6,843 miles. And yet, if you were to measure that in the flat earth, okay, because when this happens, when you take a flight, of course, because the earth is an orb, when you go from Tierra del Fuego, you don't have to, you know, travel horizontally like that. You kind of go across from the, you know, across the southern pole, which, you know, it's not actually, you're not actually going across Antarctica, but, you know, to a side, and you end up in Australia. That is how you end up with 6,843 miles. But if you take the other route of the flat earth and you have to measure from Tierra del Fuego to Cape Town, South Africa, and then to straight. If you measure from the Tierra del Fuego to Sydney, Australia, you're going to end up, and this is what I end up with, approximately 11,000 miles, because it's much longer. Because you don't have the advantage of going, you know, over the southern part of the orb, you know, of the planet. You have to travel, you know, in a horizontal line. So what I'm trying to say is the numbers do not jive. The numbers do not agree. Okay? They just don't agree. They just don't agree. It's like almost twice as much. On a flat earth, it takes almost twice as long. It's almost twice the distance than it would be the way the earth is now, and which is an orb. And so there are many, many other different ways. The aurora borealis is also another way that you can tell that it's, you know, when the sun rays hit the earth, you know, at that angle, it produces, you know, those aurora borealis. And then also the blue skies, you know, the same thing with the sun. I mean, so many different things to try to force those things to explain the flat earth theory is just nonsense. And I have heard all the arguments, you know, these people make, that if, you know, the earth, the gravity, you know, how come that the water stays in place and it doesn't fall off, you know, blah blah blah, you know. I mean, I went to university, you know, and you don't have to be real smart to figure some of these things out. But there's such a thing called centrifugal force. there's such a thing called centrifugal force. And when the earth is spinning, it holds the water in place. It doesn't move. And I have proven this experiment many times in the past. I you know, when we used to have those wire hangers, I used to do it to people to prove the power, you know, to prove the law of the centrifugal force. And I would put a dime right there on the tip of the hook of the hanger, right? And I would put the other end on, you know, I would stretch the hanger, right? I would stretch it, and so I could spin it. And I would put the quarter on the tip of that hanger, and then I would start spinning it, and then I would spin it faster and faster, and the quarter would stay put on the tip of that hanger, and it wouldn't move until I stopped. That is centrifugal force. And so anyway, and there's a lot more thing here. Anyway, I don't buy it. It's a bunch of bunk. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. People get obsessed with this thing. You know, if people want to believe this, fine, go ahead, believe it. And when we leave this earth, you'll see it is not flat. That's fine. But many times people that believe this theory, they get obsessed with it. And they all they talk about is this, and they want to argue, and they want to fight. They want to shove it down the throats of others. And I'm not going to have that. And so there you have it. Simple and to the point. I hope it helped you. Thanks for writing, Angelica. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Angelica.
Now, here is one from Dan.
Pastor Augusto, I wanted to let you know that I'm still listening and learning from every episode. Thank you again for your ministry. I'm so thankful for Thursday's teachings. Be encouraged. Thanks. Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. I'm glad you're learning and you're listening. God bless you. Right again. Here's one from Armando.
Good morning, Augusto. I am requesting prayer of agreement for my 83-year-old father, Dr. Armando Frere, who lives in St. Petersburg, Florida by himself and his three cats for the past 3 years. Recently he found someone to babysit, cat sit, his fur babies, and he proceeded to get in his car and attempt to drive to Brownsville, Texas. Well, he was fine driving the I-10 interstate all the way until he hit Houston. Long story short, I had to drive him back to Florida and then hop on a plane and fly back to Texas. So I am praying that the Lord will make a way for him to move to Texas where he has family and somehow resolve the issue with his three cats, either by giving them up for adoption or bringing them along with him ASAP. There is a lot more to this story, but I want to keep it short, and besides, the Lord already knows. Amen. Ephesians 6:2. Respectfully, Armando Frere.
Amen. Amen. Larry, I just feel led for you to pray for Armando. Would you do that, please?
Lord, you see the situation, and we just put him on the throne of grace and mercy, Lord, and ask you, Father, in your mercy and grace, that you would just plant the idea of what you would have him do in your perfect will, Lord. And if it be to make the move, supply the resources to take the cats and bless him and bless the family and bring them all together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Armando. God bless you. All right. We got one here from Mike.
Mr. Augusto, listen to your Tuesday night mailbag show. I am sorry for the loss of your close friend. I realize that the more frequently that I write to you, the more I interrupt your work. I know you must be extremely busy, but I could not sleep. It is 2 a.m. I wish to relay to you an experience I had with our Lord. I hope the meaning and thrust will come through. In 2018, we lost our family pet. Our 13-year-old Norfolk Terrier, Porkchop, passed away. My grief was greater than I can explain. The emptiness that replaced that little dog was staggering. Through the following days and weeks, the pain and emptiness persisted unabated. I had thought that the pain of my loss would wane with time, but there was no relief. One afternoon, while on my way home from work, I cried out to God in desperation, "Oh Father, why does it hurt so bad?" To my surprise, my faithful Father answered me. He said, "It hurts so bad because it was so good." He said that he was the one who personally picked out the dog for us, and that wonderful little dog was his gift to me and my family. Further, he said that if the dog had been mean, then the loss would have been of no consequence. The pain I was feeling was in relation to the magnitude of the gift that I had lost. I remember thinking, "What? You picked out this gift for me and my family? Are you really involved in my life to this extent? even to the point of bestowing gifts and pets to my family and I, unprompted and spontaneously, as I began to come to grips with the origin of this most precious gift and the fine detail of God's concern for my family and I turned from thinking of my deep loss of the gift and began to thank the God who loves and cares for me. Gratitude, thanks and praise began to flow from within me toward God in a quantity and a quality that I never even knew existed. Excitement and joy gripped my heart and the pain suddenly became less. Mr. Augusto, your friend was a special gift to you from God himself. The pain is great because the blessing was so great. Would you have turned down the gift if you knew the pain you would experience at the end? What, and miss the joy and Christian companionship? Of course not. What a privilege to experience such gifts from the very hand of our Heavenly Father. I learned that deep pain and grief cannot exist where there is thanksgiving. Jesus understands our burdens and lifts them from our shoulders through recognition of our blessings and our thanksgiving and praise. Isaiah 53:4, whether people or pets, Jesus is interested in the finest details of our lives. I wonder, how many gifts from God have gone unnoticed and unthanked? Thanks be to God, Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Mr. Augusto, sir, when pain comes, give thanks. It is as though I can feel your loss and the loss of Larry Taylor and his pets. I am earnestly praying for you all. I Thessalonians 5:18, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. That was a beautiful, beautiful word you gave there. And it's such an example, and so true that we many times forget that the Lord is the one that provides the, you know, these people into our lives. He brings the people into our lives that we love and appreciate. He brings the little animals, our pets, even them, and they cause us and bring us great joy and great moments of happiness. And yes, I understand, and I totally agree with all that you said. So thank you so much for taking the time to write and share that. God bless you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, I do appreciate him sharing that. And of course, what struck me hard, I guess, was within the same 2 weeks that I lost my prayer walking dog, I also lost a cat that we'd had 16 years. It was just a really blessing, a big blessing from the Lord, of course. And so I guess I had double holes in my heart. But one of the things I wanted to share to go along with what he said was, how did I get my prayer watching dog? Well, honestly, I was taking a prayer walk, and I walked down to a block area where there's a local Baptist church, and I did my walk. I walked around and around a basketball court, you know, and on my last round before I turned around and started walking back home, I saw this little brown dog, and of course you saw the picture, Augusto. I sent you a picture of it. Here come this little brown dog tootling down the middle of the road, down the hill from a side street. And I thought, well, that's strange. I've never seen that dog before. And that dog not only come across over there to the basketball court to where I was, but it followed me all the way home and got up on the bench on my porch and stayed. Actually, in other words, I didn't choose that dog. That dog saw me, and later I found out the Lord had given me that dog for a prayer walk and a companion. And this dog lived on the porch. She had an igloo on the porch with hay in it. She had that bench. I put her a cushion up there on it. She had her water and her food. And in the winter, when it got, because we have some bad winters, it'll get to zero almost. She would come in and stay in the house, but she always loved that front porch. She sat on that front porch, and for some reason, she always knew when I was going for a prayer walk, because I'd see her looking in the window as I get my jacket on every single time. So for a few years, and I didn't train her. When I walked out that front door to go on that prayer walk, she was right there with me, And oddly enough, and I'll share this, oddly enough, when, you know, after she had got killed and run over, you know, a couple of days there, every time I'd start to take my prayer walk, I'd see her walking, but oddly enough, she always followed me. She never led me on my prayer walks. And after her death, every time in my mind's eye that I would see her in the spirit or whatever you want to call it, Augusto, you sent me a really good deal. You know, I posted it on my blog about pets and when those that pass away, when you again see them or become aware of them. But anyway, every time that I saw this dog, she was going ahead of me, leading me. And I thought that was kind of symbolic. But I agree. I appreciate him sending that and sharing that. And I have to agree. The animals we're given pretty much are God's gift to us. And the sad part is when the Creator gives them, he can also take them when he wishes. And you only have them for the time it's given.
Yeah, that's a great story. Pets are very important to us. They become a member of the family. And to lose them is just like losing a loved one. You know, I've lost pets. And we, one time when I was growing up, we had a really wonderful little parakeet. He was actually my brother's pet. But that little parakeet was just amazing, just really loving and a lot of fun. And when that little guy passed away, we were very, very sad. So we've all experienced that, I think. Pets are very wonderful gifts, yes.
Yeah, they are. And I was listening to what you were saying there, Larry. And, you know, I was thinking about we have two cats and two dogs right now. And we have had our share of dogs passing. But the two cats that we have, one of them, that's how we got him. She started following me. I was walking, and all of a sudden, I heard a meow. But it was almost like I heard her calling my name. Like she was calling my name. I heard my name being called by the cat. Would you believe that? And when I heard that, I said, what is that? And I turned around, went back, and it was this little cat. It was kind of gray. And she was so skinny. She was dying. So I picked her up, brought her home, and the rest is history. We kept her. And then this other one, and by the way, her name is Smokey. And this other one we have is, she just arrived out of nowhere, and she just started staying in this property, in my property here. And, again, I had to get her and bring her inside, and I brought her and I wrapped her up in the cloth. She was so small and little, and when I gave it to my wife, it looked like a chalupa, you know, that you buy at the Taco Bell. and I told her, I said, look, here's Chalupa. And that's her name to this day, is Chalupa. And then the little cat, it's like a little Dachshund. You know, it's a mixed breed. I found her in the garbage dump. And my son and I went to dump the garbage one time, and there she was. And she would follow us everywhere. So I told my son, I don't have the heart to leave her here. And again, I brought her home. She was so little that I mean, you could put her in the pocket of his shirt. And I brought her to my wife, and she put her in her pocket there. And then I said to her, we need to find a home for this little dog. And she said, she just found one, and we kept her. So, you know, three of our pets right now, that's how they came. They chose us. And so I kind of sympathize with what you were saying there, Larry. But anyway, let's continue because time is a ticking here. So we got here one from Mimi.
I unite in prayer, and as I do that, I am praying for your requests also, whatever they may be at this moment, the Lord knows. Prayer request. My father is in his last year or so, and as you know, my concern is him right now. Please keep him lifted up in prayer for his rededication, salvation, and God knows the rest of what needs to be addressed before he passes on. May he cross over in peace and see his parents. They killed his father when he was 5. Also see my mother, who really became close to the Lord towards her end. She died 1 year and 4 months. It was a surprise. She was 74. Then there's my son Seth, who turns 40 this year, and the prayer request is always the same: rededication, salvation, and his ministry, calling, and purpose. Although he was raised with the gospel, he needs healing, deliverance, and to work on the alcoholism, some drug use, and other things in his life. Baptism in the Holy Spirit to cleanse and renew him. Also, his daughters Valerie and Kylie, and my son's dad Dennis. Bless and protect what is left of my immediate family, Karen and her husband Brian, Fabian, James, Ryan, Cheyenne. Extended family, Daniel and Fabian. As for myself, well, I have a cyst the size of a golf ball. I am trying natural treatments on my own, but it needs to be drained. I just don't have medical insurance. May God remove it and just do a spiritual scan of my body and heal every cell along with all medical, emotional, psychological ailments that I may have. Work and live from paycheck to paycheck, so I need job security for what is left of my life. I am 57, alone and left with nothing by design. Such is the life of the specific anointing placed over me and freedom fighting, and as we know, freedom is not free. May the Lord supply my needs, renew me like the eagle, restore all stolen, finish my Juris Doctor if only as an accomplishment. Thank you, Mimi.
Well, thank you, Mimi. Appreciate sharing that. Chuck, would you pray for Mimi? We agree with her prayer request. Would you pray for her an audible prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Mimi. We all pray for Mimi. And we pray for the fulfillment of all of the dreams or the prayers that she has been praying for her family, her mother and her father and her children and herself. We pray, Father, for those who are yet to be saved for their salvation. We pray, Father, bring them into your kingdom, Father, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and begin to use them mightily in your kingdom. And for those that are already saved, as well as those that aren't, we pray, Father, for healing and restoration, and for everything that Mimi is praying for her family to come into fulfillment, Father. We thank you for doing this. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Jimmy, Mimi, if you would send me your address, I'm going to send you a little offering there. I want you to go get that cyst drained, okay? I want you to get that drained, and it shouldn't be that difficult. Any regular doctor? Well, not any. Not everybody does that, but many of the regular doctors, they do that right there on their office. And so find one that could do that, or go to the emergency room if they're in emergency, and find out about that. I'll send you something, okay? So I want you to get that drained. You need to get that drained. Here's one from Anita.
Papa Gusto, I am well into the book of Enoch and am amazed at the great detail and imagery Enoch has given us. I noticed that his spiritual position is as high as Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Very disturbing to me that the church fathers responsible for putting together our Bible negated to include Bispu, the Annals of the Kings, Jasher, etc. I am grateful that you shared your experience with the Apocrypha books. Thank you also for the Anointed Thursday teachings. Lisa pulled Mark and me to Ava. We were hit with the latest COVID variant and myriad days of chemtrails. I believe the latest chemtrail spraying are filled with even more virulent and dangerous substances because I have not had such difficulty in nipping this bronchitis for 25 years. Thankfully, no hospital stay, and despite hammering this lung infection with cat's claw, astragalus, oregano oil, high potency vitamin C, echinacea, ivermectin, vitamin E, and my ozone sauna, we are just able to get out of bed. I urge the brethren to make sure to get their cabinets week filled with many powerful antioxidants because they are planning disease X and many will die if not prepared. Thanks again for all you do for us lambs. Anita Event.
Yeah, well, thanks for writing, Anita. What you're saying there about the book of Enoch is true. It was left out of the Bible. It's shocking. That it was left out of the Bible, but it was left out of the Bible. So, the chemtrails keep spraying. And I'm going to pray for this problem you have, right? This lung infection. Father, we just come against that lung infection Anita is suffering from right now. We speak to that lung infection, to the virus and to the bacteria, whatever is infecting her lung, and we command it to die in Jesus' name and pass from her lungs in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we give you glory. And Father, we just speak life and we speak blessing and we speak healing upon Anita in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We speak health into her life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. One thing I need to that I would encourage you to do is get a nebulizer, get a nebulizer and do the breathing in that. And there are some it has helped a lot of people to cleanse their lungs and their respiratory system of any infection or virus. There's a lot of doctors out there that have, that online. You can look it up on YouTube and other places. But you need a nebulizer to do that, okay? You need a nebulizer to do that, and so you can do the inhaling. And I believe that will take care of it. That will knock that out, and in Jesus' name. And but it could be, if you don't want to take antibiotics, you need to do that. And a lot of people don't want to take antibiotics. But inhalations will help you a lot. And the other thing is irrigations. You need to get the Neomed sinus rinse, and you do that every night, okay? That also helps. You do that before you do the inhalations, okay? In Jesus' name, you'll be well in a jiffy. I declare that. I speak that over you in Jesus' name. Thanks for writing, Anita.
Thank you, Anita.
Amen.
Here's one from Howard.
Good morning, Augusto. Last week on my wife Donna's collarbone, right side, a bump appeared. It seems to be a swollen lymph node. Swollen lymph nodes are common if you are fighting an infection. She very recently had COVID, but it also can be a metastasis of a prior cancer. And this is just above where she had it 17 years ago. If the swelling is above the collarbone, that is a high probability. Donna's lump seems to be on the collarbone, which tend to indicate it is not cancer. She is having blood labs this week and returning to her oncologist, who just discharged her as a patient 4 months ago after 17 years, saying the likelihood of a return at this point is negligible. Please include her in your prayers.
Yes, praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Howard, for sharing that. We're going to pray for Donna, and we're going to agree with you in prayer that this is not a cancer returning. And Father, we just agree with Howard right now for his wife, Donna, that this bump that has appeared, Lord, is a swollen lymph node and nothing more, not a cancer returning or any such things. We speak against that cancer. We said it dead in the name of Jesus, and it is void, and it's now returning in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that the oncologist will confirm this and will be able to remove that lymph node, the little bump that has appeared. And we pray for a quick recovery for Donna in the mighty name of Jesus, that this little bump that has appeared on the collarbone will be gone soon in Jesus' name. And we speak health to her, and we speak blessing upon you, Howard, in the mighty name of Jesus, that the Almighty continues to use you in the work that he has given you to do on this earth in the days to come, and that this will be for his glory, for the glory of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Thanks for writing, Howard. God bless you.
Thank you, Howard.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And here's one from Anna.
For my condolences on Sister Jerry's passing. Hello, Brother Augusto. I am writing to offer my condolences on Sister Jerry's passing. I remember seeing her at the last conference and got to speak to her some. She was very precious. I will be praying for comfort for her family and for you. Thank you also for praying and believing with us for my mama. God bless you and your family. Anna.
Well, thanks, Anna, for writing and sharing that. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We are in agreement with you and Christina for your mom's health. We are believing. I got an update from Christina saying that they're going to begin the appointments, the treatment for your mama at the treatment center in Florida. And so we pray safe travels, and we pray for the treatments to be successful treatments, and that she will recover from all of these, and that she will be strong again in Jesus' holy name. So we just encourage you to continue the fight along with your sister for your mama's journey in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Well, that is the end of that. That is the end of the mailbag. And we pray for those of you out there that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I really don't know what you're waiting for if you're not saved, if you have not given your life to him, if all you have is a religious relationship with him. You need to understand that that is not enough. Just going to a church, no matter what church it is, just going to a church on Sunday, it's not enough. And just saying a quick 1 minute prayer is not enough. Okay? You need to spend some time with him. You need to read his word. You need to talk to him like you're talking to your father. He is your heavenly father. And you need to accept the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross for yourself. Say, I receive what you did, Jesus. I receive what you did for me at the cross. I receive that sacrifice. I accept it. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me at the cross. Thank you for coming to this earth as a Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Save me. I need you now. Come and save me. Come and fill my heart. Come and wash me from all my sins. And take my heart and make it new. Forgive me of all my sins, all my trespasses, and all my iniquities. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if you have done that, let us know. Let us know that you listen to the program. You pray with us. Go to our website. There's a lot of stuff there that you can get and listen to for free. And I would love to hear from you. All right. Well, here is, we have a few minutes left. And we have about maybe 8 minutes left or so. So I want to kick it up to you, Larry and Chuck, for final comments.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. Steve Bannon just recently, on March the 11th, gave a message, said America's headed straight for a financial earthquake, and just be ready. It's coming at the U.S. quickly now. And there's been a number of intel, you know, financial intel and other stuff, that there's a lot going on behind the scenes in the banking industry and the Biden administration and what they're planning. And so this is really critical. In another critical area, this is War Room News tickers, says Biden ramps up pressure against Israel by U.S. aid activity and building a port of Gaza operation by the U.S. military. Biden threatens Israel to stop the war in Gaza. And then for a response, there's a news ticker also after that, said Netanyahu says Israel will defy Biden's red line on Rafah in Gaza. And so we've got a very uncomfortable situation with really one of our allies, Israel. And from all the real experts of that region, they say that basically that Biden has betrayed Israel and is working to bring Israel down while he raises up the Palestinians, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and other areas into more power.
Biden has no interest in doing anything that will benefit this country but in benefiting all of those who are our enemies and going against Israel as well. So I cannot wait for this presidential election this year. I believe that we will have help from the Lord if enough people will continue to pray for Donald Trump, regardless of all of the things that he's saying that are stupid, and hope that we can at least get something decent going here for a little while because of all of the very difficult times that are coming.
Yeah, that's for sure. And for some reason, I do believe, and I'm feeling in my spirit that this whole thing may turn out to be, it may turn out to be a fulfillment of that vision that you had, Larry, of the storm and the harvest before the storm and the darkness. And and the door, you know, about to shut. The door is about to shut, folks. The door is about to close. And we may be on that season right now where the door is about to close. And, you know, most people don't realize it, but there's a lot of things happening. Financial collapse, war in Europe, war in the Middle East, the invasion that is taking place with and what they're preparing for the summer, and you know, inside, you know, war here in the United States, and the incoming incoming Planet X, all of these things and more, I believe, is getting ready to happen. And right as these things are happening, wouldn't it be something if the Lord would bring about an epiphany, would bring about a renewing, a revival, the last outpouring on planet Earth, the last act of mercy right before judgment falls? That is how the Lord operates from my experience, and he might do it again one last time. So thanks, Larry, for sharing. Thanks, you all, for tuning in. Thank you, Chuck, for sharing and for taking care of the boards. And we'll be back here next time. This is Augusto Perez with the Mailbag Show saying, shalom.